Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Everything Blue Jays, everything baseball. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Baseball Central, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Ben Annis filling in for Jeff Blair alongside Kevin Barker.
How you doing?
I'm good. We're trying. Here's a little behind the curtains of radio. You don't want to have your discussions, you don't want to have your arguments in the break or before you're on air because you don't want to spoil the good stuff. Right. So we just spent the last 8 or so minutes, you just giving me this look, man.
Like what?
I don't know.
There's no look.
Yeah, there was a look. Head shaking. There was looks. There's a whole bunch. Okay. All right. So you agree with me then on the Jose Reyes deal?
No, I just think that's going to be a very hard thing to sell to a lot of people, in particular Jose Reyes.
All right. So let's set the scene here. Blue Jays lose 4-2 to the White Sox yesterday. All 4 runs were unearned. Chris Colabello booting a ball on a relay in the third that, actually in the fourth, that allowed the first White Sox run, but 3 unearned runs in the 8th inning because Jose Reyes started the inning with an error that's about as bad as you can have, but it happens. Went right through his wickets, and Mark Burley was able to get 2 outs, but not the third. And my contention is that you have a guy in Ryan Goins who isn't much with the bat. We all know that, but he's an elite-level defender, one of the best in all of Major League Baseball. Him and Brendan Ryan, they're almost on the same plane, I think, defensively. You've got him there. He's available to play defense. Jose Reyes just made the last out in the top of the 8th inning. His bat is not likely to factor in unless, of course, White Sox tie it or whatever. It goes to extra innings. And if it comes back around in the 9th inning, that's a good thing because you've expanded your lead if you're the Blue Jays. So why not, in that situation, and why not going forward, make the switch, make the defensive substitution of bringing Ryan Goins into that game using the great glove that he has, knowing that Jose Reyes is nowhere near the defender that Ryan Goins is. That's not to say he's a bad player. He's just not the defender that Ryan Goins is. Why is that so difficult?
I think if you're going to do that, you sell it early in the season. That would be my thing. 85th game, that was what it was, 85th game yesterday. I think it's real hard to sell it, saying that if you're John Gibbons, you're calling Jose Reyes in the office, and you're basically saying you can play if we are losing by 5, we're winning by 10. But if we're winning by a run, you're one of the superstars on our team. You're the catalyst, the leadoff guy. You're helping us getting leads. It's going to be very hard to sell that to a superstar of your team that helps you get leads. Hey, I get it. The errors are hard to swallow, but it's what you signed up for. It's not something new. What has he had? He averages 12 errors a season for 13 seasons.
It's not the errors.
He's basically on pace for that again to do that this year. What is he? He's made 19 errors is the most he's made in baseball. It's a lot for a shortstop. It's not a surprise he makes errors. So making an error in a big spot, it happens. But he scores a lot of runs. He gets a lot of guys fastballs. He helps you get leads. I'm saying it's going to be very hard to sell to one of your superstars. And I think we can both agree on this, that he is one of the superstars on the Blue Jays teams.
Sure.
He helps them do a lot of things. Regardless of what you think on the defensive side of the ball, we can all say he's getting a little older. He's lost a step. He catches balls flat foot. He gets him in trouble. We can say that. Yeah, it's a bad thing. But saying that if you're John Gibbons, you're going to call a guy in, even I'm sure Alex Anthopoulos is going to be in the room also, because, again, talking to superstars is different than talking to a lesser player. This is going to be a little bit harder to sell, so you're going to need 2 guys telling this. On this conversation, you're going to say what I just mentioned, that you can play up until the 8th inning. If we have a 1-run lead going into the 9th inning, you're not playing anymore. I really find that's going to be a tough sale. Now, I get it. You want to win games and you want to do all these things, but Jose Reyes brings a lot to the game. You can say what you want about his defense, and I just mentioned he's lost a step. All of these things we can say. What he brings on the offensive side of the ball, he averages 50 stolen bases a year for the last 13 seasons. That's a lot. He leads baseball shortstops in the American League with 10 in stolen bases. He does a lot. He sets the table for all the big boppers coming up in your lineup. I think making an error, regardless of whether it is, you know, Jose Bautista made one in the fourth inning. If he would have made that in the eighth inning, we'd be saying, why doesn't John Gibbons have the conversation with Jose Bautista on why are you doing this?
Hey,
but
listen,
we're not having this conversation. We're having it about Reyes because he did it in the eighth inning and not the fourth inning. It's all of these points are valid. Everything that we're saying about he's lost a step and he needs to work on the relays, all of these things are true. But what he brings on the offensive side of the ball is enough to overwhelm the 12 error average that he's going to have throughout the entire season.
No question.
It's part of baseball. You make errors. He's a human being. That's what you do when you're a human being is you make mistakes. But to me, what he does is a leadoff hitter, and that's enough to make him go 1 through 9 and not 1 through 8 and say again. If you're Jose Reyes and I'm John Gibbons and I come to you and I say, Jose, you're going to play 1 through 8. If we have a 1-run lead in the ninth inning, we're putting Ryan Goins in the game. How do you think that's going to go? It's going to be a tough sale. If they started doing this from day one, yeah, it's fine and dandy. Doing it on game 85, 86 tomorrow or today, it's going to be a little bit tougher sale. That's my point. And, you know, it's all of the points I've heard on the radio and from you are all valid points. You can all make the argument that you need a better shortstop on the defensive side of the ball. But what he brings in other elements of the game, getting everybody fastballs to hit, Josh Donaldson, more fastballs. They're a better team with him as a leadoff hitter. 2-1 game, it's very hard to take him out because of what you just mentioned. That rolls around again. He may have to hit. Who do you want to hit? Ryan Goins or Jose Reyes?
The question is obvious, but allow me to retort after all that. You just kind of glossed over the fact, sure, you want to win. Like as if like that's just like, oh, okay, yeah, that's all part of it. It's all about making people happy. And if you win, does Jose Reyes, do you think he's crazy enough to disagree with the notion that Ryan Goins is a better defender than him? Does he understand that? Do you think that Jose Reyes thinks, you know what, he probably thinks highly of himself, and he should. He's a great player. And I'm with you. Listen, the offensive stuff, totally on board. And I'm a Jose Reyes defender. I feel like I spend more time defending him than throwing him under the bus. And I'm not throwing him under the bus. All I'm saying is that Ryan Goins is a better defender. And in those, and you're acting like it's going to happen every day that he's going to be lifted in the eighth inning.
When do you not do it? You do it one time when it's 2-1, or you do it the next time when it's 2-1?
Circumstances will dictate, and that's why John Gibbons makes a bunch of money to be the manager of this team.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure he makes that much money, and I'm sure he doesn't make as much money as Jose Reyes.
I just think
it's going to be a real tough sale. You want to make everybody happy, especially your superstars. I'm not saying it's not the right move, and it could have been. Not on game 86. I don't think it's the right move now because it's very hard to do that. It's very hard to go up to what I just said to you.
It's also hard to swallow a loss like that. I mean, what's more difficult? Saying, hey, Jose Reyes, your feelings might be hurt?
Once again, it is leading off an inning with a guy on first. You're up 2-1.
Yeah, right.
And
you have a solution to that. You can put that to bed. I mean, Ryan Goins might commit the same error. You don't know. I would say that the odds are a lot lower that he commits that error or commits a throwing error or doesn't get to a ground ball up the middle that Jose Reyes can't get to, which happened actually a couple of times before the eighth inning of yesterday's game.
Okay, so you're saying basically don't play him.
No, I'm not.
Because it happens before the eighth inning. You said he can't get the balls up the middle. Yeah, all of these things are true. I'm not disagreeing with you that he's lost a step. He catches balls flat-footed. You can't do that as a shortstop. He does all of these things. I can't argue this. The fact that he makes errors. What's he made? 7 errors. He's on pace to do what he does every year, which is basically make about 12 errors a year.
Yes.
Where and when he makes them, that's the situation. Again, it gets back to you. If Jose Bautista had made the throwing error in the eighth inning.
Yes.
Would we be having this conversation once again?
Well, why
doesn't John Gibbons call in Jose Bautista and say, hey, man.
If they had Mickey Mantle defensively on the bench, I would say, yeah, absolutely, substitute.
So Ryan Goins is Mickey Mantle now?
No, he's
not. I don't understand.
He's a good defender.
I understand. Again, okay, all of your arguments are just. They're great arguments. I'm just saying the sale right now, it's going to be real hard. You treat, whether you like it or not, and whether we like it and whether anybody else likes it, superstars are treated differently. And Jose Reyes is a superstar. Batista's a superstar. Josh Donaldson's a superstar. You treat those guys differently. Whether we like it, you like it, I like it, that's just the way it is.
It's time to put up or shut up, though, Kev. When you look at this team, how close they are to the playoffs and the offense that they have and how close Alex Anthopoulos and John Gibbons are to losing their jobs.
I'm sure we're gonna see in the next week or so whether people are whether John Gibbons and Alex Anthopoulos has went to Jose. You know what it is, too? When you pay a guy, I will say this. When you pay a guy $22 million, you should be able to do whatever you want to with him.
Yes.
Okay?
Oh,
you should
yes.
You should be able to do whatever you want to with him. But it may be a little bit too
baseball
late for
wise.
That.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. It may be a little late for that. Now, that's my point. It's, you know, if you're going to start doing this, we heard early on spring training that John Gibbons was going to give Jose Reyes more days off because he notices what everybody else notices.
Yes.
Okay? But right now, they have to outscore people. So when you're winning 2-1, it's very hard to take a guy out that his time in the spot and his lineup may come back around again.
There was no better opportunity than yesterday. He made the final out in the top of the eighth inning, so it would be a long shot for him to come around and still have an impact on that game offensively as long as you're able to shut down the White Sox, who, by the way, are the worst offensive team in the American League. It's all about pros and cons, though. I'm with you. Jose Reyes is such a valuable offensive player that his offense outplays his defense. Absolutely. Anybody that thinks that I'm saying Ryan Goins should be starting over Jose Reyes is totally out to lunch. It's absolutely the opposite of what I'm saying. Jose Reyes is a great offensive player at a position where you don't often get offense.
This is what I'm going to say. 13 years and as many numbers as he's put up, regardless, when Alex went out and got Jose Reyes, he knew that his weakness was his defense. He was getting him because he's the catalyst in that leadoff spot. He knew what he was getting. It's not a surprise all of a sudden that he's making an error in the eighth inning. It's not a surprise. It's
right.
What we see that.
You can make a difference. You can change it.
A few times.
Though. You can change it. If you have, you don't have
I'm
to.
I'm just saying, okay, it's a perfect world. It will be changed. And he plays eight innings, turns it over to Ryan Goins, perfect world. Do you see that happening? Really? Realistically, do you see that happening?
I think it should. I think.
I said, do you realistically? Shouldn't and realistically happening is probably not going to. Those two things are not the same.
I think we'd all be surprised at how Jose Reyes would react. Because you didn't answer the question. Do you think Jose Reyes thinks he's a better defender than Ryan Goins?
I think he's a better athlete.
Do you think he thinks he's a better defender?
Probably. If he's a superstar, he should.
Well,
now, whether he is or not, well, you got to superstar status because you think you're better than everybody else.
And he is at every aspect of the game other than defense.
Okay. I'm sure if you ask Jose Reyes that, he would say otherwise. I'm saying you ask me what Jose Reyes thinks, not what everybody else thinks. Being a superstar, I've never been a superstar. I don't know, but I'm thinking
just on the radio
that Jose Reyes would think that he's better than Ryan Goins at everything.
Yeah.
Now, we both know that that's not true, that he's a better defensive player than Jose Reyes. But right now, if you're asking, if you went up and stuck a mic in Jose Reyes' face, what do you think he's going to say? Yeah, I think Ryan Goins is a better defensive player than me?
I don't know.
No.
If he understands reality, he would, but I don't. If he doesn't, then you have to tell him. Because it's a move you have to make, I think. It's all about winning baseball games.
Again,
I don't care whose feelings you hurt. You got to win baseball games. It's that simple. We got a couple of minutes here before Shai Davidi joins us, and I'm sure we're going to continue this conversation with Shai. And I've been talking about it all day.
You have.
I know. It's a hot-button topic for me, but Blue Jays had a lead against Chris Sale yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Colabello, and how perfect was that? Barry Davis was extolling the virtues of Chris Colabello and how well he sees Chris Sale, and then like seconds later.
Hey, Chris Colabello goes up hunting fastball. I've talked to him numerous times. I'm at the field. He's out early. That's why you see him take really weird swings on breaking balls. He looks fastball every pitch.
Yeah.
And facing Chris Sale, why go up looking for anything else? You can't hit his breaking ball. You can't hit his changeup. Why not going up trying to hit 98 instead of the other two things? So it was a good approach. It worked out once. And, you know, it's there again. You see Josh Donaldson, he hunts a fastball. I think that was with a two-strike count. You know, you go up. Why try to go up and hit something you can hit? Why go up looking for breaking ball changeup when you can't hit. There's nobody else can hit it. Why go up looking for it? Go up looking fastball, get it, and hopefully you put a good swing on it.
That was setting up to be, I don't know if it was a signature win. It would have been a huge win for this Blue Jays team. Mark mm-hmm. Burley pitched. He was outstanding. I mean, he went the route.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
We're not having that discussion again. But you had two complete games from two different pitchers. Chris Sale had struck out 10 in 8 straight. Mm-hmm. You scored 2 runs off him. You had a 2-1 lead in the 8th inning. Could have been a really big win for this team. Instead, it ends up, well, I was talking about Jose Reyes' defense for 3 hours today. And they'll try to make it right tonight against Jose Quintana, another lefty on the hill as Felix Dubront makes his first start for the Blue Jays. What are you expecting out of Dubront tonight? You know much about him?
I think he just needs to throw strikes, keep it in the yard. He does that with the offense, especially they're facing a left-hander tonight. They rake lefties. Besides, you know, Chris Sale's not really a true lefty. He's a different kind of guy.
And
put him in a different class. But they rake lefties. Just keep him close, give him a chance, and, you know, hopefully, like you said, Jose Reyes is not playing shortstop.
No! Again, that's not what I'm saying at all. Hopefully, how about this? Hopefully, Blue Jays in the exact same situation have a 2-1 lead in the 8th inning, although it'd be nice to score a few more runs off Jose Quintana, although he's had a good record against the Blue Jays in his career. Same situation. Jose Reyes makes the last out in the top of the 8th, and you substitute Ryan Goins defensively in the bottom of half of the inning. I mean, I would hope that that's something that they might at least consider going forward. Enough about us discussing it. Let's bring in Shai Davidi, Sportsnet's own, who joins us on the line right now from Chicago. And Shai, thanks for doing this. Okay, so where do you come down on this? Has the question been posed to John Gibbons about the possibility of replacing Jose Reyes defensively late in games, in close games where his bat is not likely to return and make a difference, like yesterday's ideal situation?
Personally, I think the whole notion is kind of ridiculous. And while I understand the thought process and like, he's a great defender, Goins is a great defender and all that stuff. If you think about the human element here, and if you're going to tell your starting shortstop that you don't trust him to make plays in a late in the game, you don't have a starting shortstop. You can't do that unless you're going to totally risk eroding the guy's confidence and faith. And, you know, we're managing human beings here. We're not talking about chess pieces on the board or fantasy baseball. So I think the whole notion that you would sub out your starting shortstop, and it's different. This isn't a hulking first baseman that you change for defensive purposes, or an outfielder who's a big bat and his glove is whatever. Your starting shortstop is different. And if you erode your shortstop's confidence or make him think you don't have a lot of faith in him, you're going to lose that guy.
To me, it's a different conversation. It's not, and it's, you can massage it. And to me, it's the job of the manager to massage it in that, hey, it's not that we don't trust you. It's not that we think you're a bad player. We're still going to try you out there every single game. But there's a better defensive shortstop on this team. And if you don't understand that, you're just fooling yourself. And he gives us the best opportunity to win late.
Ben, where does that happen in the big leagues? Like, is that?
But I don't care. I don't care
where that happens.
I don't care.
Listen, that's fine. You don't care, but there's no massaging it, because the message in saying to a player, "I'm subbing you out in that situation," is that we don't trust you to catch the ball. And if you don't trust your shortstop to catch the ball in the 9th inning, then you don't trust him to catch it in the 1st inning. And that's the message that you're giving to the player. And if you're willing to risk losing the player, fine. But when you're talking about a guy who's got $60-odd million left over the next 2-3 seasons, then you've got to be a little bit more careful with that asset.
Shai, let me ask you, Mark Burley, at the beginning of the year, I think we were all a little hard on him just by, you know, he was getting up in age and he was leaving balls up and he doesn't throw hard, yada, yada, yada. He's, I think, basically been the ace of this staff the last however many starts. Is he surprising to you anymore, that what he does on an everyday start now?
You know what, Kevin, I think the dude, first off, let's just say this, the dude is a total boss.
Yes.
Like, anyone who can take the mound with mid or lower 80s fastball and show the fearlessness that he displays is unbelievable, unbelievably gutsy. And because of the lack of velocity and all that stuff, if he has a couple bad starts in a row, you think, okay, well, here it is. The bottom is falling out. We keep waiting for that bottom to fall out. But it's not happening because he's such a clever pitcher. He's got so much guts, and he really makes hitters beat him. And a lot of the time they don't, which is what makes him just so amazing to watch. So, you know, we shouldn't be surprised. Maybe we are. Maybe I was a little bit too. I thought,
yeah, me too.
You have to wonder, is this the end at any point? But he's just such a pro. He's so smart. He's so adaptable that really we shouldn't be surprised when he's as effective as he is.
And Shai, we've talked about it a number of times, how the prevailing wisdom is he's going to retire at the end of the season. Are we still convinced of that?
You know, it's funny. A lot of the Chicago media was on him last night after the game, as they are every time he comes back here. And they were kind of poking and prodding him. And he keeps on saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. But the most telling comment he made was someone said to him, are you sick of pitching? And he said, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. And the fact that he sometimes is makes me wonder. And, you know, he really wants to be with his kids. I think it's been hard on him to be away from his family the way that he is. You know, they had a whole plan when he signed with the Marlins, and that got blown up by the trade. So I think if he could find maybe a one-year deal somewhere close to home, I could see him maybe going to a place like St. Louis because that's where he lives, and then he can be with his kids a lot more, and he wouldn't miss out on that. I could see him coming back for that. But if a situation like that doesn't materialize, I could very well see him walking away.
Shai, we talk about big series for teams, and often we don't. I think we leave out big games for players. Drew Hutchison's obviously going to pitch, not today but tomorrow. He's got a 9 ERA and 9 starts on the road. It's, what, a little under 2.5 and 8 starts at home. How big of a start? You know, we talk about this very lightly. How big of a start is this for Drew Hutchison to just figure something out, I guess?
Yeah, I would think it's very significant. You just think he doesn't want to go into the All-Star break with this on his mind and this whole home road split thing hanging over his head. And he knows that he needs to be one of the guys on this team. And he hasn't been, or he's partially been. And I think that's the part that eats at him more. And that, you know, the thing that you don't that makes you scratch your head is that all his splits last year that we were worried about, oh, he can't get lefties out,
right,
he can't pitch at home.
All reversed. Yeah. Makes no sense.
And now it's the polar opposite. So you just think eventually there's something that happens there where he puts it all together, is able to find that consistency. But that to me is what makes it big, that he's still looking for that little step. And maybe if he's able to send himself into the All-Star break with a good start on the road, having found something and it being able to rebound, maybe that helps him, you know, lock in for the start of the second half.
Talking to Shai Davidi, Baseball Central, Ben Ennis, and Kevin Barker, Aaron Sanchez is going to make a start in the Gulf Coast League in Clearwater today. Now, it is a start, and I guess you don't quite have to decide whether he is a starter or a reliever yet, but at some point you're going to have to, because if he's a reliever, you can get him back a whole lot sooner. What are you expecting, and what is the game plan now with Aaron Sanchez?
Well, the game plan is that there isn't exactly a set game plan. Right now it's build him up slowly, make sure that as he gets into competitive situations, the lat doesn't bother him, and then as he moves up against more competitive hitters for more extended periods of time, that the issue doesn't flare up on him. So I think he's still at the point where making sure the injury is behind him is the priority, but the other factors are going to decide what goes on. I mean, maybe Felix Dubront is something, and you know, he's got the possibility of 2 starts between now and the All-Star break, and maybe he shows the Blue Jays enough that, hey, they want to keep going with him, and maybe that gives him pause, or maybe Alex Anthopoulos is able to make a deal for a starter, and then they bring Aaron Sanchez back as a reliever. But ultimately, it's going to be where the need is, And I think the need has got a chance to evolve in significant ways over the next 2-3 weeks.
In progress right now, the Gulf Coast League Phillies lead the Gulf Coast League Blue Jays 1-0. Aaron Sanchez has gone an inning, giving up one hit and a walk and one earned run. So we'll keep an eye on that as the show continues. We'll see how long Aaron Sanchez goes today. Before we let you go, Shy, Felix DuBront tonight. What are you expecting out of Felix DuBront? This White Sox team doesn't have much in the way of offense. The worst offensive team in the American League. But that's a pretty hitter-friendly ballpark at the U.S. Cellular Field. What are you expecting out of Felix DuBront tonight?
Well, they're especially bad against lefties. I looked this up last week, and they had a 562 team OPS against left-handed pitching, which was the worst in the majors.
Yeah.
So he certainly got a chance to be effective against that lineup. But to be honest, I don't know what to expect. You know, we saw him for a couple innings Friday in Detroit, and it's a very small sample size. And what's it going to look like second and third time through the batting order if he gets that far? That's a big question mark. But this is a guy who's had some big league success before. He should be able to maneuver his way through a lineup at least a couple of times and give his team a chance to win. And really, that's all you need to do for this Blue Jays team. Whether they manage it or not, we'll see. But this is an opportunity for him. And if he's going to show that he's got the chance to be a big league pitcher again, then this is his opportunity, because the Blue Jays certainly can use one right now.
Shy, real quick before we let you go, Chris Colabello is a big surprise to me. Every day it looks like he's making in-game adjustments, per bat adjustments. Is this a surprise to you, and could anybody see this coming?
I think, just like we talked about, everyone waiting for the bottom to fall out of Burley, everyone's waiting for the bottom to fall out on Colabello as well. And you know, the fact that it hasn't happened, I mean, it was a real boon for the Blue Jays, because you just think, what would they be doing in left field right now if not for him? And, you know, Ezekiel Carrera has been pretty reasonable too. So, you know, he's been, in a lot of ways, found money for the Blue Jays. And you need a surprise or two like that over the course of the season to really pull your team together. So, I mean, he's been all that and more so far for the Jays.
Shy, thanks a lot for this. Be careful out there in Chicago. Yeah. It sounds like there's an armed insurrection taking place.
I think I'm good right now, but thanks, fellas. I'll keep my head up.
Thank you.
All right, there's Shy Tavidi in Chicago. I don't know. The south side's rougher than the north side, right? No. I've never been to Chicago.
I haven't either. Well, I've been there, I think, one time playing, but I guess the Cubs.
Those sirens were sounding louder by the second.
Yeah.
Hopefully Shy's okay. Mm-hmm. Blue Jays and White Sox tonight. Pregame show starting at 7 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, 7:30 on Sportsnet. It is Felix DuBront against Jose Quintana. I'm a little surprised that Shy took your side on the Jose Reyes debate.
Why is that? I told you. I said you have a handful of superstars, and there's everybody else. And whether anybody likes it, Jose Reyes is in that handful of superstars, and they're treated a different way. It's Shy mentioned it. You don't want to kill the whatever it is, the happy-go-lucky kind of thing, regardless of whether you like it or not. We knew this coming in. When everybody gets Jose Reyes, we knew he catches balls flat-footed. He makes errors. It's part of it. But the offensive side of the ball outweighs what he does on the defensive side of the ball.
To me, you don't have to throw your hands up, because there's a solution in-house, and it's easily made. It just takes a little bit of people skills.
We'll see. Maybe they'll call on you to talk to Jose Reyes.
It's unlikely. It's Baseball Central. Coming up next, we will discuss a whole lot more going on in Major League Baseball, including the All-Star rosters being released, including the reserves, and Alex Rodriguez not among them. He will not be on the final ballot either. And John Lester is 0-66 to start his career. That's just in the regular season. 0-77 if you include the playoffs. He got a hit yesterday. We'll talk about that and plenty more coming up next. Ben Ennis, Kevin Barker, Baseball Central, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Baseball Central, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Ben Ennis and Kevin Barker, and we're not going to keep talking about Jose Reyes, I promise.
You want to, don't you, Ben?
I do, because we just spent the whole break talking about
it. You spent 2 hours, too, on your show.
And I did. I'm done. I'm all Jose Reyes'd out, okay? We're done.
Yeah.
Until this show's over, then we can continue.
Nah.
All right. Oh, you're going to go home. You got yes. other things to do. All right, yes. fine. I'll call you at home. You're taking care of the kid. Yeah, we'll nice. Continue. All right. Other news, though, around Major League Baseball. The All-Star Reserves were announced, and two more Blue Jays added to the American League roster, which is not surprising, and I think two very deserving guys in Jose Bautista as an outfielder. He finished fourth in the balloting, almost cracked the starting roster for the American League. And Russell Martin, who has been a spectacular signing by Alex Anthopoulos in the offseason, very deserving behind the plate as well.
Where would this team be, the Blue Jays, without those two guys? We saw when Bautista didn't play right field and he was hurt, how bad this team was in the outfield, how bad they were defensive. Why we talk about defense for the last whatever, without Jose and without Russell Martin, throwing out guys and, you know, going through this pitching staff, he's been a lot of help. Both deserving.
Yeah, very deserving, and they will be there. Guy who won't be there, though, Alex Rodriguez. Did you hear? I rattled off this stat earlier, and it wasn't me that came up with it, and it's just readily available, obviously, but Barry Zafirluga of the Washington Post tweeted out that there are 14 players who have OPSs, on-base plus slugging percentages, over 900. 13 of them are headed to the All-Star game. The one guy who's not is Alex Rodriguez.
Well, he's the biggest fish. That's you know, that's part of baseball. It's, you know, whether we like it or not, we talk about things you like and things you don't like. You're either I think it's either you're a fan of A-Rod's or you're not. There's not a really in between. And you know, he's sort of came back this year and proved to a lot of people that he can still play. He can still hit the fastball. That was the biggest question for everybody was, you know, can he get the head out? And he's been doing that. He's been, we just talked about two guys that, what would the Blue Jays do without? What would the Yankees be without Alex?
He's been a huge part of what they've done offensively. I'm shocked. I think it might be, you poll people in Major League Baseball, it might be the biggest surprise of the entire season. I think people expected the Astros to make leaps, maybe not to where they are right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's two, but Alex Rodriguez is right up there. Are you okay with him being snubbed from this game? Obviously, you can't talk about Alex Rodriguez without talking about the year-long suspension that he's coming off of and everything that surrounds him and performance-enhancing drugs. Are you okay that he was left off the roster, and how much of a factor did that play? I mean, it seems like the only
factor. Well, I would think it would be the biggest factor. That's why he's not in the All-Star game. It's, you know, it's regardless of whether how we feel or how you feel about it, it's an individual thing. Again, I don't think there's any in-betweens with him. You either hate the person he is and what he's done up until this point, or you like him. And, you know, I think he's headed in maybe the right direction. He's trying to clean it up. He's a lot nicer person when it comes to dealing with the media and, you know, just he wants to be a part of baseball. I think he genuinely wants people to like him. And, you know, you can't argue with that side of it, whether he deserves to be an All-Star. It's, you know, numbers, I would think, probably say he should be, but all of those things leading up until this year make it very hard for you to say, yes, he's an All-Star.
Yeah, he's not an All-Star, maybe never going to be an All-Star again, and definitely not going to the Hall of Fame. So it looks like the individual awards might be done for Alex Rodriguez. What would it take for him to win an MVP award? First of all, it's difficult as a DH. Where do you come down on that as well, being a DH and being compared to the rest of the hitters in your league? Because maybe that factored in as well. He's been primarily a DH this year. He doesn't have to play the field, which, I mean, we've seen it throughout history. I mean, David Ortiz might have a difficult time making the Hall of Fame because he's been a DH his entire career.
I look at it this way. I don't think it's their fault that they're a DH and they're very good at it. It's not their fault. You know, that's part of baseball. You have a DH in one league, there has to be a guy fills that spot. And it just so happens it's been David Ortiz. He's been the best for a very long time at doing it. You know, it's not his fault. That's the way I look at it. Every player in Major League Baseball has their role, and that guy does their role to the best. You know, it's like Mark Burley. We can argue this till we're blue in the face. I say he's a Hall of Famer by what he adds besides numbers, what he brings everywhere else. And if you ask, polled every player that's ever played with him, against him, they're probably going to agree that he's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, it's not certain people's fault that he's a DH or where you play. It's, you know, it's part of baseball. It's the American League, and that's what comes with the American League, is a DH.
In the National League, Clayton Kershaw going to the final vote, and this is a guy who earned that huge contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who throw money around like it's Monopoly money. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Money, apparently, to the Dodgers. And he was worth it. I mean, you look at the mm-hmm. historic numbers he put up in four straight years, leading the National League in ERA. The numbers are up this year, but I think if you look at the peripheral stats and the strikeouts, still leading the National League with 147 mm-hmm. over 114 innings. He's been a little unlucky, but the ERA over 3. Is he an all-star to you, Clayton?
Of course. I'm sure if we get back to polls asking players, I'm sure he's one of those guys that people dread facing. They don't want to face him because of the numbers you just mentioned. He's a strikeout guy. He can make you look silly at the plate. And, you know, you want the best in the all-star game. That's why the thing of the all-star game meaning so much, well, sometimes it's not the best players all the time going to the all-star game, and that's an issue for me because the all-star game all of a sudden means a lot. It means a lot when, you know, the World Series, that whole deal was based on who wins the all-star game, and you want the best players on both sides of the ball. You hope they can work on that a little bit and figure things out.
I want to talk about a minor league story, and I love talking about minor league stories with you because I'm hoping there's a good story that you have that you were in a similar circumstance. But the Dunedin Blue Jays mm-hmm. yesterday wrapped up a game that took 21 innings. They lost to Lakeland 2-1 in the 21st. They started this game on Sunday and rained out in the 17th, so they had to resume it yesterday and wrapped it up with 4 more innings, mm-hmm. and Lakeland won that game. You ever played in a game like that?
I have. I can't remember how many innings I played in the Rochester Red Wings, which is the Minnesota Twins, I believe. And it's not a very nice place to play. It's very hard to hit there. The shadows are super bad. It's just, if you're a minor league player and you've been around a long time like I was, you dreaded going there just because it was, you know, it was gloomy and it was hard to play. It was hard to see there as a hitter. Most of the time we went there was extra inning games, and we always used to make fun of it, saying that, you know, we play 2 games in 1 because we don't like it. You know, it's just so happens certain times you go to do certain things and it just lasts longer for some odd reason because you don't like it. I don't remember how many innings it was and how many innings I played there, but it has been a lot, and it always seemed to be that one certain spot. So it would always rain or something. It would, guys, the lights would go out. I think the lights went out one time and they couldn't get the lights back on, and it was always something at that one certain spot.
Did you guys have to eat? Did you like order in pizza or something middle of the game? Like, that's a 6-hour game you're talking about.
Yeah, but they would, most of the time when the lights or something would go out, they would cancel. They would shut the game. They wouldn't keep us there forever because, you know, they would just, it was normally one of those games that would happen middle of the series, so you would have other games to make it up. It's not like the big leagues where you wait a month to make it up. You always would make it up the next day. So
little update on Aaron Sanchez and his rehab start with the Gulf Coast Blue Jays. Chris King, he's evaluates amateur prospects for Perfect Game and a pro prospect coverage guy for FanGraphs. He's watching this start in Florida and tweets 7 minutes ago. Sanchez is 94-95 in the second inning. Not much feel or command with his secondaries. Threw one nice curveball to end the second with a strikeout. This coming after he was 93-96 in the first, overthrowing, having trouble finding his release point. That sounds very much like Aaron Sanchez to me.
Well, it took him a month or so to find his breaking ball when he's a starter every day. So
that's a danger. I mean,
it'll take him a while.
If you're relying on this guy.
Yeah, again, it's going to be very hard with the starting five. We had this conversation yesterday, not putting Aaron Sanchez back in that starting five rotation. But if he has real trouble finding his secondary pitches, you may need to think about moving to the back end of that bullpen. It's going to be touchy decisions here coming up for Alex.
Well, the thing was, too, he was figuring that command thing out late in his early part mm-hmm. of the season before he went on the DL. I think his last start was he walked one.
Yo, I think it's a power guy. It's a mechanical thing with power guys because they throw so hard. They're trying to put so much torque on their pitches, and they try to overthrow them that it's very hard to get everything going from point A to point B in a straight line. And You see that with Aaron Sanchez a lot. He's either pulling off the ball, he's snapping the ball too early, his elbow's dragging, which is a big deal with the breaking ball, the off-speed pitches. So, again, it gets back to, can he throw numero uno, which is the fastball, for strikes all the time? Because the last time we checked, I know it's 94, 95 there, but he runs it up there at 97 to 99 with a lot of sink.
Yep.
That's really hard to hit.
Yeah, it's hard to get in the zone, too, with how much movement he gets on that pitch.
So why can't he throw that as a starter one pitch? I mean, make guys hit it. If I can throw it all the time for strikes, I get ahead of guys. I get guys to chase because it's so hard and I have to cheat to get the head out. He doesn't have to throw that thing for many strikes. You know, it makes sense.
I think he was trying to do that before he went on the disabled list. Mm-hmm. One more thing when it comes to All-Stars, and we'll move on. Roberto Osuna having a great season, and it seems like the middle reliever, not just the closers, are now part of the All-Star discussion, although he is this team's closer at the moment. Do you think he should have been named to this All-Star team?
Well, that's tough to do that. It's a young guy.
20 years old.
Yeah, it's it is what it is. With the young guys, it's very hard to say, yeah, a 20-year-old should be an All-Star. That's, you know, there's a lot of deserving guys. You have to dominate. When you're that young, because older guys have been there and done it, that there's, you know, it's a sort of a track record that fans get used to voting for the same guy all the time, regardless of whether that guy deserves it or not. And oftentimes you see younger guys like a Roberto Osuna that's coming up trying to establish his name and get his name out there and say that I am one of the elite bullpen pitchers, vote for me. So, you know, I'm sure he, in the next couple of years, depending on if he's a bullpen guy or not, he'll be an All-Star sooner than later.
Yeah, the Blue Jays hoping that he goes back to being a starter and being a very good one, because he's got all the pitches and still projects as a very good starter for this Blue Jays team. John Lester has a couple of different quirks for the Cubs. One of them is that he doesn't throw to first base, like, ever. And when he does, he throws it away. And the other quirk is that, yeah, he is a pitcher. So, I mean, maybe this isn't super surprising, but I'm sure at lower levels and probably playing Little League, he swung a bat. He started his major league career 0 for 66, which is a major league record. Nobody had done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Got a hit yesterday off John Lackey. He was actually 0 for 77 if you include the playoffs. Got a hit off John Lackey. They were going nuts. I mean, I guess this is, I mean, it's hard to rip the guy too much because, yeah, he's a great pitcher, and I know now he plays in the National League but spent so much time in the American League, but that's difficult to do. We were having this discussion, actually, in the newsroom. If I was thrown into the Major League Baseball immediately, could I get a hit in 66 at-bats?
I'll say no.
Do you think I'd make contact in 66 at-bats?
Can you hit we'll see what the average fastball is, what, 91, 90?
Yeah.
Somewhere, can you hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball?
But I think if I was taking batting practice every single day, if I was seeing pitches every day, eventually I'd get wood on ball. No?
Well, you're talking about getting wood on balls different than getting a hit.
Well, and then law of averages, you got enough.
So I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no right now that you would not get a hit. It might take you whatever. Hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're
a round thing or a round thing. It's, unless you've done it since you were a kid and you're very good at it and you're used to seeing. As hard as they throw fastballs now, it's, you really got to know what you're doing when you step to the plate. So that's not a big deal for the John Lester thing. But throwing to first base is a little bit of a head scratcher to me, that you spend that much money on a guy that can't hold a guy on first.
Well,
that's,
I guess,
weird.
The idea,
I'm sorry,
is,
but
don't allow anybody on first base.
Yeah, but you do. You're gonna. It's not like you're perfect, and you know people make mistakes, Ben.
Yes,
so
we've learned that today.
You have to get, you know, you're going to let somebody get on first. And I saw Billy Hamilton when I was watching him play the Reds, and Billy Hamilton basically did everything but steal home.
Right.
And all the time he would just run to be running. That's a, if you're John Lester, you may want to go work on that a little bit more than what you're doing now. It's, to me, that's a little bit of the embarrassing thing, but I think the hitting thing, it is what it is. You're a pitcher. If you can bunt, get some bunts down and help your team get a guy over, hey, work on that. Getting a hit's a plus.
Yeah, see,
how about that?
I mean, you would figure that many bunts he's laid down this season. Eventually, one he's going to beat out for a base hit, but he never did. You don't think I could bunt for a base hit?
No.
I got wheels, man.
No chance.
You don't know. You've seen me.
I have, so that's why I say no chance.
Blue Jays and White Sox playing game 2 of 4 tonight. It's Jose Quintana against Felix DuBront. Pre-game show starting at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Mike Wilner. It goes at 7:30 on the TV side. It's me and Kevin Barker all week. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll find something else to yell at each other about. I'm Ben Ennis. He's Kevin Barker. You can follow me on Twitter at BennisSNet. This has been Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360.